Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 of Return number 608. I hope you all are well. Please excuse the hiatus last week. I was away. I am back and we are back in business. As always, any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, or sponsorships, please email me at rabbiyismach@take10fortorah.org. What I wanted to discuss today is how it is that we got ourselves into the parashiyot, into the story that exists in these parashiyot, Shemot, Va'era, Bo, the story of the Jews being enslaved in Egypt. How did that happen? What did we do to deserve it? Is there an explanation given? So the truth is, if you go back to the story of the Bris Brein HaBesarim, where Avraham is told that this is going to occur, a bunch of Mefarshim offer different suggestions of why it is that Avraham deserved this to happen to his descendants. Some people think it's because he questions God's promise. Some people think it's because he doesn't send the captives of Sodom. He doesn't keep them and make sure that they grow under his wing. Some people think that he took scholars out of yeshiva in order to do battle against the four kings. Some people think that he went down to the left Eretz Canaan, the promised land, and he went down to Egypt without asking God first in the case of the famine. And in any event, whatever the reason that he committed this sin, it's not clear why his descendants should suffer for that as well. Of course, maybe it has something to do with selling the brothers, and maybe it's a generation later, where we're two generations later. It's not Avraham, it's the brothers' actions, but not all the brothers were involved in selling Yosef, so it's not clear exactly what would have caused it. So if you look in the Navi talks about this story, in Navi Yechezkel, for example, it says, the Navi quotes, "Va'omar alehem ish shikutzei enav hishlichu, uvigilulei mitzrayim al tatamu ani Hashem Elokeichem." I said to them, God says, I said to them, the people living in Egypt, get rid of your detestable things that you're drawn to. Do not defile yourself with the fetishes of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But Vayamruvi v'lo avulishmo elai, they defied me, they refused to listen to me. Ishes shikutzei nehem lo hashlichu vest giluli mitzrayim lo azavu. They did not cast away the detestable things. They didn't give up these fetishes, and that's why it continues to say they were punished in Egypt. So it sounds like from this pasuk in Yecheskel Chaf, it seems like the description is of the Jewish people's wrongdoing, that they themselves were in Egypt, perhaps for the reasons that we said before. Perhaps we ended up in Egypt for a period of time because of Avraham's actions, or because of Avraham's grandchildren's actions of the Shvatim, but the fact that we stayed and were enslaved, so that could be because of their own behavior. Here it seems to be described as Avodah Zarah. There's another pasuk in Hosea, where it says, "B'Hashem v'gadu, ki vanim zarim yololdu, Ata yochlem chodesh el chok es chelkehem." Because they have broken faith with Hashem, because they have begotten alien children, therefore the chodesh, the new moon, it seems, will devour their portion. What does that mean? They begot alien children. So some understand that this has to do with a different sin that they were involved in, the sin of avoiding a mitzvah, which was the mitzvah of Mila. You know, we have the whole discussion about Vayakam Elachadash Asher Lo Yada as Yosef. You know, how does this whole story occur in the first place? Yosef should be a national hero. How could it be that his people, his family, become the villains in the Egyptian story? So there's a very interesting Medrash in Shemos Rabbah. Why was he called a new king? So it tells a whole backstory for why there was a new king that was appointed. It was Paro, it was the same guy. How could it be? It's because the Mitzrayim wanted to do harm to him and to the Jewish people. And he said, "What are you, idiots? Anachshav mishalahem anu ochlen. We eat their stuff," because Yosef was the one who arranged that we wouldn't die in famine. "V'heichn esdavig lahem. How can we go and attack them and attach ourselves to them to do bad to them? Ilula Yosef lo hayinu chayim. If without Yosef, you know, we never would have survived." So he wouldn't listen. So what they did was is they deposed him for a few months, the Medrash says, until finally he gets his job back. And now as Vayakam Elachadash, he arises. He's not new, but his policies are new, because he realizes that if he wants to keep his job, or maybe even his life, he has no choice but to conform to their position in how to treat the Druze. Okay, so now the Medrash goes on to say that there was a mission to make sure that the Jews did not, or maybe the Jews adopted this themselves, would not circumcise. And now that they wouldn't circumcise, they could be like the Egyptians, they could marry with the Egyptians,
And then the goal was that, again, kivanim zaru yoladu, they were strange children. They bore strange children because they intermarried with Egyptians, it seems, or because the children were not identifiably Jewish in that they were not circumcised. They did not have a bris milah. So that might also be part of the incriminating evidence that we find against what it was that they did, what they did wrong. Now, there's another idea, the Medrash says, that maybe they did nothing wrong, and we'll see more of this later. A person is not elevated to a position of leadership until they are tested. When the person stands up after their test, then they will be raised up. And it gives a few examples of Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Yosef. And he says, this is the Medrash Tanchuma, also the Shevet of Levi. The Shevet of Levi, this whole Egyptian experience is suggested here, is all a mission that Shevet Levi is going to be the one who, they are not enslaved. Why are they not enslaved? Because they don't get involved in the different types of behaviors that the rest of the Jewish people did. Levi are the heroes in Egypt. They become the heroes again later in the Egel Hazav. But what this was about is Shevet Levi was going to take this important position in spiritual leadership of the Jewish people. Why did they achieve that important position? Because they, or maybe all of Klal Yisrael, were tested, but Levi was the one that passed with flying colors. And so this attitude would mean it's not because of something they had done wrong, but it was the opportunity to do something right, the opportunity to brace themselves under challenge, to show themselves to be the leaders of their brethren. And that really, the goal was all towards Shevet Levi. There's a whole other perspective where it's not about idol worship or bris milah, which may be considered mitzvos ben adam makom, mitzvot between man and God in that relationship. And it may not just be about this idea of showing off Shevet Levi, but it also is tied, and Moshe discovers this, it's tied to the behavior of the Jewish people as well. We know that Moshe goes out and he saves a Jew from death from an Egyptian. He kills the Egyptian, and the next day he gets involved in a fight, and then he comments Rasha Lamasak Ariecha, and then the person who he criticizes, it seems, comes at him with the with an argument. He says, "Who are you that you are going to be the shofet on me? Who are you to decide that what I'm doing is wrong? How dare you?" Okay, and the principled objection. And so the Midrash and the Midrash Tanchuma, for example, discusses how in that moment he realizes that this is the reason, because of this interpersonal flaw of these two people fighting, the fact that one person who was seen as a hero trying to come and save them is actually criticized for doing so. That's the fundamental flaw that the Jewish people are suffering. He says the phrase, the Medrash, the full Medrash is Amar Rabbi Yehuda Halevi ben Reb Shalom Hayamosha Omer L'Fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rebono Shalolom L'Fnei Ma Zos Ha'um Mishabedas. Why in the world is this nation enslaved? Shivamumos Yesh Be'olam, there are 70 nations, Einem Mishabados Alohu Mahazos Bovad. Only these people. Why? What do they do? What do they do so wrong? So Acheno Da HaChet HaZos, K'dichsiv Acheno Da HaDavar. Now he knew, he figured it out, and because he figured it out, he was done. He ran away. He ran away to save his life, but he also ran away because he realizes that now it's revealed to him the fundamental flaws, the interpersonal flaws that he witnessed amongst his people, which had them deserve this level of exile, this level of difficulty. Rashi confirms this. Rashi quotes this measure. She says, Ochein noda hadavar kimashma'o. I now understand this thing that I was so confused about. Why, of all the nations, were we being punished in this way? Now I see and I understand why. We see later on as well, when he refuses the job of saving the Jewish people, he tells God, how am I going to communicate to Paro? And also he says, how are the Jews going to get out? He had two questions. Number one, how would he be an effective spokesperson? And number two, how could it be that they could deserve to leave? Finally, we have the idea in Devarim, in the Sifri. So the Sifri says, really, the idea is as follows. Minayna ta'omer shlo yerdo avasenu l'mitzrayim l'kadei sheyasa lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu nisim u'gvuros. It wasn't about any sins. It wasn't about something they had done wrong. It wasn't about testing them. It was about showing the prowess of God, God's ability. and he goes through the different psukim involved in the Sifri. Uminayin shlo hevi hamakam peronios, lo hevi eser makos al paro val mitzrayim, elo bishvil kadesh eshmo hagadol ba'olam. How do we know that the only reason is for Kiddush Hashem, so people could see the glory and the majesty of God? Shemitchilas hayinim, because in the beginning it says, mi Hashem asher eshma b'kolo. The question is asked, who is God? And then at the end it says, Hashem atzadik va'ani va'ami harishayim. Paro goes through this educational curriculum, where in the beginning he thinks that who is God? And by the end he's clearly and plainly obvious to Paro, and what everything that he has done to Paro. And really all of this was not about us, but it was about Paro and the world, learning the lesson of God's involvement in the world, and everything that that means for our history and our destiny.
Have a great day.